All right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order here on Monday, September 14th. First of all, welcome everyone. You know, tough times that we're all facing. I hate that we can't meet in person, but hopefully one day soon in the future, we'll all be able to get together and have some shrimp and enjoy some fellowship together. We have some new faces around the table tonight. So I'm gonna make some quick introductions and then ask them just to say a little word if they don't mind. So I'll put you guys on the spot right away. Forgot to tell you that during the intro meetings that I was gonna put you on the spot, but I know you guys can handle it. So first we have Christopher Caffey from City of Radford. He's now a commercial quality control analyst with Atlantic Union Bank. His family, two daughters and wife live here in Radford. He is also a alum of New River Community College, as well as has his bachelor's degree from Liberty University. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Steve, and thank you, everyone else. I appreciate the opportunity. It's we're a very involved family with the community, and looking forward to helping out on the board as well.
And then next, from Floyd County, we have Craig Chancellor. Craig is an agent and developer with Thomas Wallen Real Estate. Much experience in the financial accounting world and auditing, information technology, et cetera. He also serves as a Chamber of Commerce president for Floyd County. Graduate of Missouri State and holds a degree in finance and accounting as a CPA. And he and his wife, is it Renette, Craig? Did I get that right? Live in Willis.
Renate.
Welcome, Craig. Nice to meet you in face this time. We didn't get to see your face last time, so welcome.
Thank you, Steve, and I appreciate you not putting me on the budget committee.
I didn't read your bio first. I could have changed that. next, we have Bill Cunningham from Pulaski County. Bill is in commercial real estate, and interesting little fact. Bill's father was one of the first on the first boards here at New River Community College. So I wanted to throw that in there as well. I think that's pretty neat. And I was excited to hear that. So welcome, Bill. I know you've got quite a few other things that you help out with in the community. Appreciate you being able to join us again tonight.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. I look forward to working with all of you in this very exciting board. I was looking through the manual that Kathy had sent me, and I wanted to tell you one of the things. Before my father passed away, he looked at that manual and he noticed a typo in his name, not at the end when he was listed, but when he was mentioned as one of the founding board members. And they put him down as Claude Cunningham. So he wanted to know if I could ever make that correction. So now that I'm on the board, to try to see if I can get that correction. So thank you all for, look forward to working with you. And it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. And then also from Pulaski County, we have Cameron Peel. He is a VP of Sales and Chief Client Officer for Cameron Logistics, which is a family-owned business. He attended ODU, where he earned his degree and double major in Supply Chain Management and Decision Scientist. So welcome, Cameron, tonight.
Thank you. Looking forward to serving on the board and everything. First time on an educational board, so I'm gonna definitely be learning a lot the first couple of meetings and everything. But looking forward to it.
Great. See, Jonathan hasn't joined yet, did he? No. Okay.
No. I'm here. I've been on.
Oh, you there? Yeah, I've got too many faces, Jonathan. It's hard to keep up with everybody here. So, all right. Welcome. Glad you're able to make it tonight.
Thank you.
All right. So, our couple little housekeeping things. So, if everybody can go on mute if you're not talking, standard Zoom etiquette, and then when we have a board action where we have to vote, I'm going to be asking Kathy to do a roll call vote. So that it's going to take a little bit tonight. We've got quite a big agenda. I don't think I've seen this many exhibits before, but see what we can do to get through and get started. So our first item here is I need an approval of the agenda as presented. So if I could get a motion from someone.
So moved.
I have a motion from Richard to approve the agenda. Can I have a second?
Second.
I think that was Peggy. Thank you, Peggy. And then Kathy, I'm going to turn it over to you for a roll call.
All right, I'll begin. Christopher Calfee. And if you'll give me a yes or no, or if you want to approve the agenda.
Yes.
Craig Chancellor.
Yes.
Richard Chittister.
Yes.
William Cunningham.
Bill. Yes. Cunningham, sorry.
Peggy Dewald Link.
Yes.
Steve Harvey.
Yes.
Jessica Littlejohn.
Yes.
Cameron Peel.
Yes.
Bobby Potter.
Yes.
Sharon Scott.
Yes.
Jonathan Sweet.
Yes.
Jim Wheeler.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, that was just a test to make sure you were really here. So I appreciate you. Here we'll jump into the next one. Next, we have the minutes for approval. They are were all mailed to you and emailed as Exhibit A from our June 1st meeting. So I need a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Bobby, thank you. I have a second.
Second.
Second from Richard, thank you. And Kathy, back to you.
I'm going to call first names only if that's okay with you all. Okay, Chris.
Yes.
Craig.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Bill.
Not being present, I would abstain.
Oh, okay. Peggy.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Jessica. And Cameron, you weren't there either. Bobby?
Yes.
Sharon?
Kathy, I missed that meeting.
Oh, okay. Jonathan?
I think I did too.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you did too. And Jim?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone. All right, Dr. Huber, it's all yours for the President's Report.
All right, thank you. First of all, I say welcome to our new board members. We're excited to have you with us. We'll be even more excited when we can get you on campus and you can really feel a part of this. as Steve said, this has been unusual. We don't usually do roll call vote. It's just I and nay, but this is on advice from VCCS attorney to be in compliance with FOIA because we are a public body that our votes all need to be by roll call. So obviously, a big thanks to Kathy Also, I really thank Kathy because you all received pictures of everybody from NRCC and of each other so that we can kind of, as we have several pieces of business, can move the meeting along tonight. So you received in your packet, and what I'm going to do is kind of roll parts one and two under my report, the reopening plan. You have it as Exhibit B and then fall startup. Kind of roll all of that together. And what I really want to say is, and because we have new board members and because we're in such different times for you to dialogue, any questions you have or any thing you want clarification on, we'll be glad, the whole team of us, we're here, we'll be glad to respond to your questions and also to your comments, just let you know what's going on and how it's going on. It's a most unusual situation for us. But starting with that, we submitted our reopening plan to the State Council for Higher Education in Virginia. You're going to hear us talk about SHEV a lot. That State Council, you'll hear us say VCCS a lot, that's Virginia Community College System. You'll hear us say SAC-COC a lot in all of our reports. That's our accrediting agency, Southern Association for Colleges and Schools. So we were required to submit a reopening plan to SHEV, which we did. It was a college-wide effort in that plan on how we were going, what we were going to do, how we were going to open fall semester. And then once, and we did receive approval, and you have a copy of that plan, and we have had to update it, an addendum and a couple of things since we originally submitted it to SHEV. It's out on our website for public view. It was a college-wide effort, all of these people here, plus a whole lot more, and we started fall semester on schedule, August 24th, but not like we normally do. Our first 2 weeks were totally online. All classes began remotely. We did have one or two exceptions with some nursing, getting them in ready for some clinical situations. And even now we are predominantly online, some synchronous, like some classes by Zoom, and then asynchronous. Starting last Tuesday, September 8th, we started bringing students on campus in limited numbers, in limited capacities for labs and clinicals. Our what we call performance-based classes, largely our CTE, career technical education programs, following appropriate guidelines from VCCS, from the governor's office, from CDC. In other words, each room, the deans, Peter, Ronnie Nichols, our facility services and IT, each room, they went in each room that would be used, they measured what's the number of students that that room could accommodate and how can they accommodate them? Meaning if it's a computer lab, some of the computers were disabled, signs out of operation so that, the appropriate number we would not exceed and to follow the guidelines. I cannot tell you how pleased I was, and I did a lot of walking around campus last week, as did a lot of people. Our students have been phenomenal in adhering to the guidelines. And I think that's been because our faculty have done a phenomenal job in setting those guidelines for students. And I think that's because the leadership team that you see on your screen this evening, our deans, our directors, our VPs, facility services, everybody has set that expectation of how we wanted to operate. And I mean, even as I watch students, as they leave the buildings, they even leave those face masks on pretty much until they get to their cars. And then, you know, as they get in the cars, at least I'm not aware of any incidents necessarily that we've had that students have been not adhering to the guidelines or that they have been disrespectful in any way. And I'm talking about, these are some of our heavy technology labs. You know, when I walk into the welding lab and they're fully suited in their welding gear, including their welding helmets, and under those helmets, they've got on a face mask. You know, I walk into the machining lab and there's one student at the machine, at each machine, and those are spaced out and they've got those face masks on. I was just so incredibly impressed and appreciative of the faculty and staff and the leadership team that you see for establishing a very positive environment. And I think by and large, the students that are coming on campus are happy to be on campus. They're appreciative of this opportunity. Now, you can ask any of these other people and they can tell you otherwise. But we've also had some with our transitional programs, our GED students and others who've been on campus. And by and large, I think that has all gone very well. We're into week number 4. We will end the semester remotely as well. We're going to run straight through. There will be no fall break. And then after Thanksgiving, students will not come back to campus. They'll finish the last 2 weeks online, including their exams remotely. That should give time for all of the hands-on competencies to be measured and student learning outcomes to be achieved. So in other words, our telelearning is the norm. Working on campus, learning on campus is the exception. Our offices do remain closed, but still a lot of outreach to students, to faculty and staff. Our facility services team, they've removed furniture from the hallways. Even, you know, the students, if they're on campus, we have nothing that's inviting them to sit and stay and or to remain. The student lounge is empty of tables and chairs. They've installed sneeze guards or what we call wellness shields. Hand sanitizers everywhere. I mean, it's just been a great team effort across the board. There have been, our deans, particularly I wanted to point out Deborah Kennedy, Dr. Kennedy for students and Melissa Anderson for employees. These are our contact people with the Virginia Department of Health. They have VDH, our local New River District, on speed dial. Because as you can imagine, there have been lots of questions I was with somebody, or I think I might have been exposed, or lots of questions there. I will say that I was going to say that we have been free of infection on this campus, but I did get a notice this afternoon, and Deborah Kennedy's waiting on confirmation from VDH. We may have our first confirmed case on campus. So she's waiting for confirmation from VDH and what our next steps would be. Typically, our protocol is if you have been exposed and it's a confirmed exposure, then you are off campus 14 days. If you are a confirmed case, and this is follow CDC and VDH guidelines, then you are off campus 10 days. Providing that you have no symptoms. So tomorrow may be our first, we may be reporting our first case on campus. We did this summer participate in an exercise, a tabletop exercise with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management, with the local Virginia Department of Health District. All managers participated, got our plan in place. What do we do, if, when? And so we're ready to act on it, as ready as we'll ever be. I will be very upfront and say everything is not perfect by any means. I cannot tell you, I'm very pleased, okay, with the way it's going, but there are bumps in the road, and it's just a lot of work, and they're doing a phenomenal job with it. We're working hard. We want to create a very positive learning environment for our students, which all of these people out there are doing that, and a positive working environment for each other. We miss each other terribly. You know, it's good to see each other on Zoom, but we look forward to the day that when we do see each other, we are not on Zoom and we are not behind a face mask. So with that, I thought at this point I'd stop and we can have a dialogue, you can ask questions, whatever. It's a very, you've heard, probably heard the term used a lot, it's very fluid. And or if any of the deans or Peter, anybody else, Ronnie, Nichols, Facility Services, anything that I've missed that you want to insert or anybody ask a question about.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
It came in today. We have the potential to host the robotics competitions for this part of the Commonwealth in Pulaski County. And we're looking for the right facility to do that. And because of spatial requirements and physical distancing requirements, we have to have a bigger facility than we've been using in the past. And it was part of our query is to check to see if NRCC could potentially be a repository for some competition. And the question was, the schools aren't going to work because this is an extended period of time. The question is, if the community college isn't in session, would any of the facilities be available? And or if they're in session, would the facilities be available? They're needing about 13,000 square feet.
At this point, I'm assuming you're saying for fall semester?
Yes.
At this point, well, two things. We have, and it's part of our reopening plan that has been approved, that says no outside groups are allowed to use the facility while we are in the pandemic. And the second point is, yes, we do have Edwards 117, but we have taken that space to be able to physically distance some of our classes, for instance, our safety class for some OSHA certifications. So E-117 is not available, and that would be the largest that I can think of. Anybody else? But I think the biggest thing, and where we get in trouble, Jonathan, is if we don't follow our plan or our policy, we open ourselves up. And we've said in our plan, and that's what was approved by the BCCS in the state. Mark, any response there? Have I?
Only thing I would ask, we've had other inquiries and we've had to be consistent in saying the same thing. We're not able to serve industry in the way that we normally do. You know, major companies that we normally allow to use our space, like Volvo and Phoenix Packaging and others, we've had to tell them, we're sorry, but for the foreseeable future, we have to follow the guidelines in the plan. So, you know,
completely understand.
I can say no. You know, part of what we do for the community is to host these kinds of things, but it just won't work right now.
Completely understand. Expectations were managed. It was serendipitous that the question was posed today, and specifically NRCC was mentioned. And I said, well, I'll ask the question. I somewhat knew the answer, and it was rhetorical, but I just wanted to make sure I honored that request. I appreciate the response and understand it fully. Thank you.
And I hate that because it breaks our hearts. You know, there's nothing we would love more than to have those high school or middle school students on our campus. And under normal circumstances, I mean, we'd move classes if we could or do whatever we could, but we just can't at this point.
I understand.
So thank you for understanding. Okay, you want me to move on to the second part of my report, which is very quick, and it's another, I think you have it as Exhibit C, the institutional priorities for this year, 2021. The VCCS establishes the criteria by which the colleges set their priorities. So the criteria, when you look at the exhibit, they're posed in the form of questions, I believe. Yes, in italics. Those are the questions, those are the criteria established by the VCCS. The bulleted items under the questions are the college's priorities and objectives for the year. Of course, these align with our college goals. And they have been forwarded to the VCCS. We'll measure our progress in fulfilling these priorities. The results from these priorities, along with some other indicators, are shared with the personnel committee of the board. That becomes the basis for the personnel committee and for the board for my evaluation. And then they're shared with the chancellor with other items. And that's part that he uses as part of my evaluation. So we always like to let you know what we're working toward each year in measurement. And I think that concludes my report unless somebody has questions. Again, thank you so much for your support of teaching and learning at NRCC.
Any questions for Pat before we move on? Pat, thank you. I know it's challenging times, and I think for being as far along as you are and maybe just having your first case pop up, I think you guys are doing, that says that you're doing the right thing with the way you're managing it. So congratulations on that. And hope that success continues and that those positives stay low. Next, I'd like to have Peter Anderson go over instruction and student services. Peter.
Sure, Steve. And I'm going to be brief because we have some, Mark and John have quite lengthy sections they have to go over. So a couple of things. Reinforce what Pat said. We didn't know what last week was going to look like. With numbers of students on campus, and I was just excited to see. I have not seen a student without a mask on campus yet. I'm sure it's going to happen. And I have been out and about just like Pat shared, and we've been in rooms, and the first day we were even handing out the task force masks. As I walked around that whole day, and we even took them over the mall site, I did not find a student on our campus that entire day without a mask on, and they're compliant. They've signed the student use of facilities agreement. So we're really excited how well this is coming together, but we also know we got to keep it together. So we're going to continue to do that and do the best we can with the situation that's been dealt to us. Just so the board knows, we're already in the process. Faculty have already given us their requests for what they'd like to see for spring and summer classes. So know that we're already doing that. We're already in the process of preparing those course schedules, and those will be live soon for the students to look at. We hope not with a lot of changes, but we'll see what happens as we continue to go through this fall. And then lastly, just mention that at our December board meeting, we'll have the curriculum revisions to bring to you. The subcommittee will meet right before the meeting. We're excited. We've got a couple of things that we're working on right now that faculty are working on. They're going to be getting to the two academic deans and go through all the different channels. So we're excited about that as we, again, keep our curriculum as updated as possible. So, Steve, that's all I had. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Peter. It's odd to have you not talk for a little while. So appreciate you going over that. And Pat, I did happen to see a video on, can't remember where it was, may have been Facebook Live or somewhere, where you were on with a lot of other local presidents of schools, where putting your mask on in the hallway and stuff like that. So you're a superstar out there now. Next, I'd like to call on Dr. Streff to go over enrollment numbers.
Okay. As of today, we are down 6.36% in headcount. That's the number of students that we have. We're only down 3.7% in FTEs. In large part, that's because we have a few more dual enrollment students than we've had in the past. If we take the dual enrollment students out of the equation, we're down 7.84% in FTEs. Looking at one of the interesting things in the fall is we look at it both semesters, but whether or not this is a student's first term or not, we're down just shy of 5.2% in returning students, but we're down 11.9% in first-term students. So in large part, I would think that is because of the uncertainty and particularly the difficulties with the Tech and Radford students trying to figure out which way is up right now. We also, on Mondays, get a report from the system that covers all the colleges. Right now, we're looking good overall due to an increase in dual enrollment entry, like I said. Overall, we're ahead of the system. They compare slightly different dates than the ones I just gave you. Their dates have us 3.9% down, while the system as a whole is down 7.28, almost 7.3%. We are the eighth ranked college in FTE change overall, and 15th ranked in the FTE discounting dual enrollment. One of the things that I wanted to point out here is that several colleges in the VCCS right now are really hemorrhaging FTEs. Tidewater is 1,640 FTEs in their non-dual enrolled population down. J. Sargent Reynolds is 530 FTEs down. Tommy Nelson's 494 down. John Tyler is 472 down. The system as a whole is down 3,839 non-dual enrolled FTE. Overall, including the dual enrolled students, the VCCS is down 6,290 FTE. So while our numbers may not look great, as a rule, they look a whole lot better than what we're seeing statewide. Following the rules of trying to keep things brief, I will entertain questions rather than talk more.
Remind me how many colleges there are in the system when you said we're ranked 8th and 15th?
23 total.
23 total. Thank you.
Yep.
And I think also in that number too, if I remember correctly, there are only four colleges in the system that are positive on the FTE side, and three of those, that positive is less than 1%. So, I mean, it's not, it's pretty drastic.
Yes, ma'am.
Any more questions for Dr. Streff?
Just real quick, does it
fall of last year or just last semester?
Sure. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Your numbers, were you comparing to same time last year or last semester?
Same date last year.
Okay, thank you.
Not the same date, but the same relative date compared to the beginning of the semester.
Just curious, is any of that surprising? Did we have any prognostications that the numbers would be better or worse? You know, anything that jumps off as...
John and I look at these pretty regularly, and I think this is within the ballpark of what we had hoped to see. So I don't think we're far off from where we thought we might be, you know, plus a little bit here, minus a little bit there. In terms of the system at large, it's really, really hard to say. Some people had doom and gloom. Other people thought that they were going to have a big boom in enrollment. So it's hard for me to judge the veracity of the estimates from the other colleges, but I would say overall we're probably in about the shape that we were. Some I would say are significantly lower than we would have thought, particularly some of these colleges that have been experiencing some really dramatic decreases over the last few years, and the fact that those are increasing. Some of our colleges that have been experiencing some drastic decreases over the last few years are bouncing back a little bit. Southside is a good example of that. So it's really hard when you're not in all these places to give you a really good answer on that, Jonathan. But I'd say our numbers are well within the ballpark that we were expecting. Good, bad, it's as good as we could hope. It's not as good as we'd like to be.
Yeah. From a very layman vantage, I would have prognosticated that we would have had a surge in enrollment because of 100% ACE, because of online potentiality, because of all the uncertainties, because of parental fear and guardianship, et cetera, et cetera. I was thinking we might see numbers to the positive, but I know it could be a lot worse.
I think the uncertainty was a major problem for students. I don't think that all of our students, well, I know that all of our students aren't thrilled with online. Online is a good thing. We do a very good job here. I think we picked up some students from Tech and Radford that were more confident with our online instruction than their native instruction. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there sure are a lot of people that just aren't comfortable with it. I know that Pulaski County is working on increasing broadband access, but the lack of access restricts some of our students in a lot of ways, not just in Pulaski County, but in the entire region. That's not a Pulaski County thing. So, you know, all those things work into it. Like I said, you know, there were some folks that thought that with the unemployment being what it was and what have you, we might be up. I think a lot of the unemployment, and there's some good evidence out there to suggest that it, because it wasn't systemic, it was COVID related, that a lot of people weren't willing to bail on where they were and just wait it out a little bit. We'll see if that continues, if the current situation continues, but I see where you're coming from.
Thank you. That response is a lot more analysis and backstory to all the different variables that go into this. And I appreciate that, Dr. Strauss.
Sure. Sure.
Great. Any more questions for Fritz? All right. Thank you, Fritz. John Van Hemmert, you got a big to-do list here. You're up.
Well, the first item is actually fairly easy. The Budget and Finance Committee couldn't meet, so I'll have to do this to the whole board. What we do is we request money from the localities, and this is the amounts that we're going to be requesting. And the way it's calculated is the total amount that was the previous year. We increase it by the rate of inflation, and then there's a formula. If you look on Exhibit D on the second page, it actually tells you how that calculation was done. And then those monies were then distributed out to each locality based on those calculations. And it uses numbers like population and property values, and then the student enrollment from each one of the localities. And then on the last page, you can actually see what the amounts were that we will be requesting. If you approve this, we will be requesting from each locality. Now, this, the funds that we get from this could be used for a lot of things, but right now what we're doing is we're saving this money up to use it for the site development when we get the next building built. You know, we have this advanced manufacturing center that's still in the plans. If we can ever get the economy in Virginia going good again, we can hopefully get that building built. And when we get that building built, it requires the site development to be done. And those monies usually come from the locality. So what we're doing is we're saving those funds up. And for a $50 million building, that could be like $1 million just for the site development. So even though we're only collecting around $80,000 a year, it'll take a while for us to save this up. So does anybody have any questions? This formula was designed many, many years ago, long before I was on the president's staff. So,
Bill, your father may have been part who devised this formula.
He probably was. And I don't know if it's reviewed every so often to see if there may be a better formula. I don't know, but.
Not in my time.
Not in your time. Okay. Yeah.
It's been working for us, and nobody seems to be complaining. So,
I guess if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Great. So, I'll at this point, I'll entertain a motion to approve the local contributions from the local budget.
I make a motion.
Thank you, Sharon. I have a second.
Second.
I have a second from Bill and Richard. And then Kathy, it's yours.
Okay. Chris?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Jessica? Yes, Jessica.
Yes.
Okay. Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby? Okay, I see you shaking your head. Sharon?
Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, the next two items deals with the Building and Sites Committee, and we met last Thursday at 2:30. We did a Zoom meeting with the two board members that were on that committee. And we talked to them about the first thing is the crisis and emergency management plan. This is a plan that we have to have, and it has to actually be submitted to, I think it's VDEM by October 1st, but we need to get the local board to approve it. So at this point, and just to let you know, we did minor changes from the last time this was approved by the board. Mainly name changes, you know, people change positions. And then we also added the infectious disease response plan to the end of the document as an appendix. At this point, I'll turn this over to Dr. DeWalt Link. You're muted.
I make a motion that we approve the plan as presented, and I would like to also add that I want to thank all those who participated. It is a very good plan. So my motion is to accept it as presented.
Is there any discussion? And Kathy, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Christopher?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last item I have, I wasn't even on this ad hoc committee. It was a committee formed to look at the names of the buildings and spaces at the college. And hey, Mark, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Since he was on it. You're muted.
I realize that. I'm not going to let you say you're on mute. I was in process of unmuting. The State Board for Community Colleges asked each community college to go through a review and examine the names of the facilities. That includes both buildings and it can be classrooms and other facilities in light of recent events about how the appropriateness of names based on historical figures and so forth. And an ad hoc committee that included some board members and some community members took a very careful look at the names at New River Community College. And after a thorough review found that there were no instances where it was felt that a name needs to be changed for any reason. If there had been a need for that to be done, the local board had the authority to change the names of buildings, but if a campus, entire campus had to be renamed or thought to be renamed, that would have had to go to the State Board for Community Colleges. And there are some instances in other parts of the state where that is being considered now. But in our case, there was felt to be no need for any change. And so I think that's that information was then presented to the board committee on that. And I think Peggy can take it from here. Unless you have questions.
Now, this does require a motion that the board affirms that the names of the college facilities are appropriate and no changes in the existing names are needed. That would be the motion.
I'm going to entertain a second.
Mr. Chairman, if it's coming from committee, does it require a second?
It was an ad hoc committee.
I'll second it then.
Yeah, thank you. Any discussion? I did want to just bring up one thing that was mentioned during this review. Dr. Nathaniel Bishop, who was a alumni of New River Community College, who also now serves on the VCCS State Board, there was a recommendation that if a name for a building or a facility come up in the future that we entertain and that name. So I'd like to make sure we make that into the minutes for tonight's meeting. And with that, Kathy, I'll ask you to call for a roll call.
Okay.
Excuse me a minute. Steve, could I ask just a quick question? I'm sorry.
Yes. Sure, go ahead.
In looking over this, and I don't have any questions or concerns about the building names or the process that was gone through. But I'm assuming based on what was presented that the VCCS is looking at this because it's something that's being looked at nationwide, I think. But in looking at the information that was provided to us, and I didn't have time to go through, Kathy, thank you for the journey through the years, beautiful
publication that you send us. But it's hard to know about these people unless you are familiar with, other than to say, you know, they were the first chairman or they were the first this. There really isn't any personal or additional professional information about them. So I just found it kind of difficult. So I'm relying solely on the committee's recommendation for this, because I don't think there's, I would think that some of the institutions where there are issues, you would find that there would be more detailed information about the individuals that the buildings were named for. And so I just wanted to make that clear that I'm not opposing this, but I also am at the point of voting where I don't feel I have a lot of the information. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and I understand where you're coming from. I can tell you the committee members that we had brought a wealth of knowledge, and one of your fellow board members here, Peggy, I'm going to call you out, she actually did quite a bit of homework before the meeting, asked some hard questions. And then we also had, you know, quite a few people there representing different ethnicities that I think also had a good, strong tie to the school historically as well, and were there for some of the namings and things like that. And they were extremely comfortable with the review that we had performed.
And if I might respond to Bobby for a minute, I also felt that in order to allow people that come into New River Community College to know who and why buildings and facilities were named, that we put pictures of those people with a brief description of what they have contributed to the college and why the building or the facility was named, the classroom or whatever was named for them. And that will be a motion later this evening. Does that help, Bobby?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Any further discussion? Kathy, I'll ask for a roll call vote, please.
Okay. All right. Christopher?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Turn my page. Steve?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Mark Rao, Dr. Rao, Workforce Development and External Relations.
Thank you. Before I proceed, I want to make sure Peggy didn't want to go ahead with that second motion about the names of the buildings and why they're there.
I would like to. I would like to make a motion that those for whom the facilities are named be recognized with their picture and a brief explanation of why the facility bears their name, and that this be installed outside of the admissions offices.
So I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Jonathan. Kathy, or is there any discussion before we move on to a roll call vote?
Steve, if I may, just a clarification.
Sure.
The motion was to have those bios and information outside of the admissions offices. Could it be or would it be preferable to have them at the primary entrance to the buildings of which are named for those individuals?
Such as a placard?
So, in essence, yes. So once you're entering the building itself, instead of just at the admissions office, you have a recognition of the individual the building is named for as you're entering into that facility. I think that seems to, from my experience, that's more of a common practice at other universities and campuses that I've visited.
Oh, Peggy, you're on mute.
I thought I unmuted.
That's all right.
And my comment was, even if there is more than one entrance to the building, I think the reason I was thinking, my thinking was admissions, because everyone would be coming through there. And that could actually be part of the admissions process to introduce the students to that wall, if you would. Just as outside of the president's office, the board members' pictures are.
Technically, that's outside.
I was just thinking.
I know. Okay, Jonathan.
From my experience in convention that I've noticed at other facilities, it's just at the primary entrance into the building that's named after that individual. It's more of a moment of recognition or memorial to that individual and the reason for that convention of naming. But I certainly appreciate your point of view and perspective on that as well, as it would be, in essence, a point of orientation.
Yes.
I just thought it may be worth mentioning that, you know, as a convention at other facilities that I visited, you'll have that recognition of that individual as you're entering into that facility only at the main entrance. I certainly wouldn't recommend the expense of going to that for every entrance in the building.
And it might be a recommendation to consider that you could do both. If you're using it, utilizing it as an introduction to New River and students and families approaching the admissions office, and maybe that's the first step, and you do that, and then to follow with a plaque or something at the, again, I appreciate Chris's comment on at the main entrance. You wouldn't have it at every door that you can get into that particular building of the facility. So I'd like to recommend
modify that my,
yeah, you know,
modify it, because I did. I like that suggestion, Bobby and Chris. So we can modify the motion that there be something at the classroom or facility, the building or classroom, as well as maybe an overview at the admissions department.
I'd be happy to second that modification.
Yes, we have an amended motion that's been seconded. Any further discussion?
Do we have a order of magnitude of cost on these options? I mean, is this a bronze plaque? Is this a paper? What are we talking about? I mean,
anybody from, I guess, facilities maybe could help answer that.
Maybe that could be something looked into and brought up at the December meeting. I don't think it needs to be anything very elaborate. It just needs to be something that shows forth the intent.
Perhaps the placard is much... The orientation aspect may be a little more detailed than the placard, because the placard is limited in size and character. So it'd be neat to see all of these things written up prior to being purchased and displayed, and would come back to perhaps the committee to review and make sure it's what the intent of the proposer is.
Another option, or one option, Steve, might be, you know, we have a campus beautification committee. Angie Covey's going to love me. Angie chairs that, and Ronnie Nichols is on it. Melissa Anderson, I believe, is on it, or used to. Oh, she says, no, I used to be on it. But maybe refer it to them for some, what would you say, development ideas or something to present.
Great. And then they would take that to the Building and Sites Committee?
Yeah, yeah, as to how. And then maybe Peggy, she might reach out to you or something for some ideas.
So I think we have a big motion with a couple good recommendations. I think I think that's a good path to go forward. And Kathy, I'd like to go ahead and call for a roll call vote.
Okay. Christopher?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Beal?
Yes.
Peggy? Okay. Steve?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Rao, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you. I always try to be more considerate than John Van Hemert, so I'm not going to ask you to go through a bunch of roll call votes in my part of the presentation, but I do have several important items to bring to your attention. Exhibit G in your packet is the college's mission statement. As you might not be surprised, the college's mission has not changed much over the decades. We're a comprehensive community college doing what we do. As we advance and change, we still stick to our mission. The mission statement is extremely important to us. It encapsulates what we do, but we also build our college goals around that. So whenever we are trying to do anything new, we make sure that it's consistent with the mission. And in fact, every single goal that we officially develop in our planning process has to be tied into our mission statement. So part of the process is every 5 years or so, we look at it again, just to make sure that it's still up to date. We try to keep it concise and simple. We do this for our own internal reasons. We also do this for our accrediting agency. When we go through our accreditation review, one of the things that is examined is our mission statement up to date and have we reviewed it? What I would ask of the board is if you would take this and just look at it, and then at the December meeting, we would ask you to officially endorse that. And if you have any problems with any of it or any suggestions in the meanwhile, if you would contact me, we'll be sharing it with faculty and staff and others too. Just to give you some perspective, the last time we did this, after a lot of review, we changed one word, or we changed the term occupational technical to career. Not to make light of it, but we don't expect extensive changes because our mission hasn't changed. And again, because we're part of the community college system, we're part of their mission also. Any questions about that before we move on? Okay, similarly, there is it's Exhibit H is a diversity statement. This hasn't been in existence as long as the mission statement, but some years ago, based on some comments within our student community, we developed a statement. It's more a statement of beliefs than a statement of, as comprehensive as the mission. But we still wanted to make this statement and make it public. And I don't remember exactly how long ago it was, but I think it was about 10 years ago that we developed this, something like that, maybe a little longer. And there's no official process that's required by anybody to review this. We just thought that we should do that at this time, and since we're reviewing the mission statement also. So in a similar vein, I would ask that you look at this over time, and if you have any suggestions about it, just get them back to us. And then if you'd be willing to, the board would confirm this at the December meeting, either as is or with any changes at that time. Any suggestions or questions about that? Okay, now, the next item, I just want to just briefly inform you, especially you new board members, along with the traditional academic programs, we offer short-term training programs here that are called Fast Forward, which is just the labeling that the state has given them. The General Assembly a couple years ago provided funding for this in a comprehensive way that we didn't have before. And these are all short-term programs that last for a matter of a few weeks to a few months, at the end of which students can sit for a nationally recognized credential and then be much better prepared to enter the workforce. And we have programs in some health areas and also some manufacturing and technology areas that we just got approval just recently to do a new one for certified production technicians and another approval for a heavy equipment operator. And those are two new programs we'll be developing this year. The students get a real good deal on this, so to speak, in that the funding that from the state makes it very, very affordable for them and also for employers who want to sponsor students. And we'll keep you informed about those as we move forward. And also just a couple comments about our marketing efforts. The discussion earlier about our enrollment, there's some things you can measure and some things you can't, but we internally are convinced that our enrollment numbers would be much worse if not for the hard work of many people here at the college. There's a recruitment and marketing task force, and there's some professionals here whose job it is to market the college. And we have all kinds of efforts ongoing that any one of you won't see them all because they're targeted in different media and in different locations. And so you will never see the whole comprehensive picture in any one location. For example, we have some marketing efforts that are online and target university students that you can also get something from your local community college, in between terms or for summer or on top of what you're already doing. You won't see that kind of advertising. But we do television advertising, radio, even traditional newspapers, although that's not as important as it used to be, we still do what we can. We try to take advantage of every opportunity for free advertising. So we produce news releases that the local media use. And we have a really comprehensive effort to do all this. And if you have any questions or suggestions about that anytime, let us know. There's always something more that one can do in marketing. Now, if you gave us $1 million, we could spend $2 million. And so, that's one of the occupational hazards about this kind of work. But we have a really good team, as I've mentioned earlier. And at some point, we'll have them have some of those folks present to the board if you'd like us to. But just want to keep you updated on those efforts also. And that's all I have, unless anybody has any questions.
Dr. Rowe, I have a quick question. In the fast forward information you presented, you said there were two new programs, heavy equipment, and what was the second one?
Certified production technician. We haven't had a program for several years to prepare manufacturing technicians that goes. We got the information through the Virginia Manufacturing Association and developed a curriculum that they designed, and it has not been successful. It's very complicated and consists of some modules that we found local industry liked the idea until they actually got into it and then they decided they didn't like it. So part of what we try to do is be flexible. And since this didn't work, we found another nationally certified program that's a little less involved. And we really have high hopes for it, but it'll be a year or two before we can really tell whether that's going to go off the ground too. Local manufacturers really aren't as interested in credentials as they are just employees at this point. And yet we're trying to sell them on the idea that once people have these credentials, they're prepared to be good workers. And that's kind of the sales point that we have to make.
Thank you.
Great. Any more questions for Mark? Thank you, Mark. Angie Covey with the Education Foundation, you're up.
Thank you. The first thing that I wanted to share with you folks is with all that's been happening, our students being taking their classes online, we've been able to provide support for students with loaner laptops. We've brought that program back to life. So at this point, we've purchased about 25 laptops. And we have folks in Deborah Kennedy's area that's helping to disperse those laptops on a need based. And that's worked really, really well for these students. In addition to that, we've had students that just don't have internet access. They don't have transportation. There's just so many hurdles that seem to get in their way. So we've helped with hotspots and all sorts of things just to make sure that the students have access to courses. In addition to that, just today we received a grant of $5,800 from Anthem, and that is to help continue to stock our food pantry. Dee Dee, you might not know that yet. We just got that this afternoon. So we're happy that we're going to have more funds that we can continue to help students. And, students may not be able to get here to get what they may need with the food insecurities that many of our students have. So we can also purchase gift cards, Walmart cards, Kroger cards, where we can help students when they have an emergency need such as that. Many of you have attended our annual scholarship event that we do every year in October. You know, we'll have about 350 people. Steve, you've always represented the College Board at that event. And unfortunately, this year, we're just not going to be able to have it, which is probably obvious to most folks at this point in time. We're really disappointed that we're not going to be able to do that event, because that's when our students get to meet all of these phenomenal philanthropic people in our community. And then these philanthropical folks get to meet our great students. So we're working in our office with some creative ways on how we can do some video thank yous and things such as that, that we can get out to all of our donors so that they feel appreciated each year. You know, that event is, you know, for a lot of folks at New River, graduation is the highlight of the year. For the foundation office, that scholarship donor event is our highlight of the year. We've got some good news in the past week or so. We're receiving an estate gift, and that actually the money has been wired, so we should be getting that check here in the next few days. And that estate gift comes from a conversation that Mark Rao had in 2007. That estate gift is going to be about a little over $400,000. It's actually coming in a little higher than I had expected earlier or late last week. So it's going to be around $415,000. It's going to be an endowed gift. And I'm working with the financial advisor right now just to make sure that we meet the specific request of the donor. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, I was looking at some of the recent gifts. It was just last summer that we received an additional $500,000 from a local family as part of an estate gift. So I think that says a lot in our community about how folks who have lived their lives here and their professions here, and they see the value in the community college, and they're leaving these kinds of estate gifts to our college. So that's pretty much all I have. If you have any questions.
Angie, I don't know if you can answer this, maybe from the scholarship end or Dr. Huber. I've been wondering where a number of students have increased a number of credits, possibly in online classes. Has that had an impact on students receiving federal financial aid or any scholarships that would indicate they have to be in on-campus classes or anything?
That's a great question, Bobby. Actually, our ACE program, one of the requirements within the ACE program is that the first semester that they take no online classes. And obviously, you know, we've had to adapt and make some adjustments. So with our scholarships and any of our funding through the foundation, we've adapted to that and we've worked with the students and taken some of those requirements away.
Great.
May I add one thing up? The state has just come up with a new program that's related to the fast forward programs that I mentioned. It's called Virginia Ready. It's been done entirely through private funding, but students in selected programs who go through these short-term programs and get the credential will be given $1,000. And the individuals who came up with this are really just their whole motivation is societal good. They saw a need for people to be able to advance themselves and thought this could give them even more incentive. So that's a nice new scholarship. It's not exactly a scholarship, but that's a nice new financial opportunity for some of these students.
I know at one time federal financial aid was limited, and probably Deborah and Tammy Smith, registrar, could speak to this limited and didn't allow probably online classes. I'm not aware of anything now. Deborah, are you or Tammy, other than perhaps some things with veterans? I'm not sure. Dee Dee, would you mind to speak to it? Or?
Sure, Pat. Our federal financial aid, there's no limitation as far as whether students are in person or online, so that is not a concern. But the veterans funding, depending upon the type of veterans funding, that comes from the state, that there can be issues where online you get less housing allowance. And I apologize, you're hearing my golden retriever in the background, of course, right on cue for a Zoom. I apologize for that. Tammy, do you have anything to add about the veterans funding?
No, Dr. Don Stowers, who's our veterans officer, he's working with all of our veterans to make sure their funding is appropriate. They are basing, a lot of their funding is based whether the class was originally scheduled as an in-person class, and then if it got changed to an online, then the students are fine for their funding. So we've not had any issues.
Thank you very much.
Great. Any more questions for Angie? No, Angie kind of did bring up one thing for our new board members. You'll get asked to attend a lot of things with the community college, and I try to go to as many as I can. Obviously, we all have day jobs and night jobs and getting tugged in many directions, but I highly encourage, you know, us as members of the board to attend as much as we can, just so you can, it'll suck you in, let me tell you. It's exciting. The scholarship luncheon is one of my favorites, as well as the graduation. And hopefully we can have a graduation in the spring. So we'll see how that goes. So, well, thank you, Angie. Next up is our standing committees. So in your packet, our last exhibit, Exhibit I, is our standing committees that I've developed. Are there any discussion on those standing committees, or anybody opposed to being on a committee they've requested you to serve on? And if not, I'll ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
I think that was a Richard as a move and a second from
Bill.
From Bill. Thanks, Bill. Too many faces here on my screen to get to everybody. So Kathy, would you mind roll call vote, please?
Sure. Christopher?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Cameron?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yes.
Thank you.
And Jim Wheeler is vice chair. I'd like to hand it over to you now.
Does anyone have any questions or concerns they'd like to bring up tonight? Hearing none, Steve?
I'm not seeing any movement. So I think we've all been sitting here for quite a while. It's a long night. Thank you, Jim. Our next meeting will be December 7th, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed that we can meet in person at the Dublin campus. If not, I think we've had a good first meeting here with our new board members and our old ones as well. We can conduct business as a Zoom meeting. Appreciate you all being able to attend tonight, and keep up the good work, and hope everybody stays healthy and safe. With that, I'd like to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.